By manifold cords of constraint, we have been drawn to this holy place. Both memory and hope have had a part in bringing us together. Both unspoken and spoken words of invitation have opened yonder doors to each of us. Knowing that all these are, after all, God's own invitation to us, let us respond to Him with glad and waiting hearts and in praise of His goodness.
Will you hear with me now a word, not from the scripture, but from a poet, William Wordsworth, who, though his writings are not canonical, nevertheless himself sees ways by which God's word may be addressed to us in surprise. In the first stanza of his ode, Intimations of Immortality, he says, "There was a time when meadow, grove, and stream, the earth and every common sight, to me did seem apparelled in celestial light, the glory and the freshness of a dream." And then, lest one think that Wordsworth thought himself inspired, let us remember the preface to part one of his ecclesiastical sonnets, when he makes gentle excuse for such words. He says, "A verse may catch a wandering soul that flies profounder tracts, and by a blessed surprise convert delight into a sacrifice." Let us pray together. Our Father God, we turn now to Thee from our fretful and fearful preoccupation with ourselves, entering this place of quietness, this time of adoration, from a multitude of cares and from duties to which we have become enslaved. Liberate us, we beseech Thee, from these our self-made cells and fetters, that we may fittingly worship Thee, our Lord and our God. In all the world around us, we see the continuing demonstration of Thy goodness. Thy gifts surround us. Thy glory captures our wonder and binds our tongues. We see Thy bounty in the world, and in the faces of Thy children we behold Thy likeness, not of flesh and blood, but of compassion and generosity and forgiving grace. For these, and above all, for the gift of Thyself in Jesus Christ, Thy Son, we praise and adore Thee. We give thanks to Thee. We magnify Thy holy name. In Thy presence we are smitten with a sense of our sin. Fearful lest Thou shouldest hear us, we have refrained from calling upon Thee. Rebellious against Thy will for us, we have spent our energies and our precious days in debating with Thee instead of serving Thee. Disappointed and angry with ourselves, we have striven to place the blame on others. Hungry for communion with Thee, we have pretended to be satisfied on the husks of idle conversation with ourselves. With our heads lifted high as though to catch the sound of a distant trumpet calling us to exalted and splendid duties, we have refused to see the need surrounding us and have disdained to hear the cries of our anxious classmates, our faltering colleagues, our lonely spouses and children, and our desolate neighbors. For these and all our sins, O Lord, grant us the forgiveness that comes only from Thee, correcting us as Thou dost absolve us, and setting our ways aright in new and holy commitment to Thyself and to each other. We would learn from Thee the need, the power, and the way of intercession. For our hearts grown cold toward Thee, grant us a new warmth and a noble, gentle zeal. To the troubled hearts, give new assurance and peace. To those who are laboring under burdens beyond their strength, supply new resources from thy boundless stores, where thou canst use our lives as thy ministers to these needs. Empower our minds and our hands to serve thee and each other. We pray for our companions who are in mourning, for those who are in pain, for the hungry and destitute, and for those who even now are walking into that valley where no human companion can go with them. Be thou comforter, healer, sustainer, and guide for these and all the needy. Let thy peace descend upon their lives and ours. We pray in the strong name of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, thy Son. In my childhood, school was a sometime thing. My mother taught us, a family of seven children, in our home, enhancing and inspiring the routine work of the three R's were many assignments of exploration and inquiry and reflection. The childhood equivalent of today's exhilarating work of research. And the treasures of our heritage were impressed upon our minds with memory work from the Bible, from poetry, from proverbs and maxims, ranging from Cicero to Poor Richard's Almanac to the folklore of my mountaineer ancestors. Among the unforgettable lines which my mother quoted to me unnumbered times were these words, cast in the form of a want ad, intended no doubt to be inserted in some cosmic newspaper's classified ads, to be read at our mind's breakfast table every morning. And I quote, lost, somewhere between sunrise and sunset, one golden hour, set with 60 diamond minutes, each one cut with 60 sparkling facets. No reward is being offered for its return, for it is gone forever. That simple utterance is not scripture. It does not have the majesty of Milton's prose, nor does it resound with Shakespearean tones. But it does speak to us of our stewardship of time, and the haunting recollection of these words taught me by my mother has turned me today in the direction of the thoughts which I wish to share with you. There is an abuse of stewardship that is seen in our waste of time, and the lines I have just quoted offer us a reproof for our indulgence in such waste, our thoughtless and even harmful expenditure of the one resource that literally is irreplaceable, the gift of life itself. But I do not want to talk to you about our stewardship in that sense, and I refrain from uttering reproofs of any of you or even of myself in this respect. No, that quotation was not scripture, but here is a word of scripture. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thus does the 118th Psalm call our attention to the goodness of God and to one of his great, simple, universal, particular gifts. It is the gift of the day that he has made, that day, this day, any day. Reproof is here indeed for the listening heart. Each time I read these words or hear them, I suffer an inward rebuke. My disregard for what I hear in these lines as an authentic word of the Lord is a sin of which I am guilty, I fear, every day, if indeed not every hour of my waking life. How often have I neglected to rejoice in the day that the Lord has made? It is my purpose here, however, not to chide you or myself about wasted time, lost golden hours, but to invite you to rejoice with me and to give thanks to God for the treasure of life itself. However much and however rightly we may philosophize over life in rarefied terms or subject it to cold, critical analysis in scientific terms, it has been granted to us mortals, after all, to know life in these the days of our years, these precious allotments of daylight and darkness, these jewel-encrusted hours of golden opportunity to be ourselves, free children of God. We know life not in the abstract, but in Novembers and Aprils, in Tuesdays and Sundays, in sunshine and rain. This is the day the Lord hath made. Sometimes we forfeit our rightful joy in the day because we are suspicious of God's intentions for us, unable to discern all the dark and mysterious ways of His providence. We may project upon Him our own pettiness, our sometimes vengeful purposes, or our incapacity to rule events, and we dare not commit our ways to a God like that. Not trusting Him, then, we are distrustful of each other, afraid that a kind word or gesture will be misapprehended, or worse still, rebuffed. We carry about with us a cloud of suspicion, our own private cloud hovering over our heads, obscuring what could be the sunlit day, if only we could look above that cloud to the radiance of God's love for us. We may miss the glory of the day, moreover, by living in the narrowed persuasion that life is composed only of great days. It is easy for us to think that ordinary days are of no use, except perhaps to hold the rest of the calendar together. And thus we live only for red-letter days, events of splendor and hours of tangible cause for celebration. When I was a child, I tended to count time in terms of how many days remained until Independence Day, to the beginning of school, to Thanksgiving Day, to Christmas, to Easter, to the end of school, and so on. Of course, I have outgrown all that. Now I live from payday to payday. Or from fall holidays to semester break, to spring holidays to commencement time. How gravely do we impoverish ourselves when we live out most of our days as no more than preludes to something else, or as pauses with no meaning while we wait for some grand millennial sunrise. To be sure, not every day glows outwardly with that unearthly brightness of autumn leaves with which we have recently been blessed. But this is the very point. This is the day the Lord hath made, and no celestial fireworks are needed to stamp it as His own. This is the day the Lord hath made. No terrestrial splendor of seasons, no marking on the calendar of nations as a day of commemoration is needed to make it fully His own. This is the day the Lord hath made. Even those inward convulsions of ecstasy or anticipation that usually mark the great days for us are unnecessary to lift this day to its proper elevation. But it seems to me that we can rightly celebrate the wonder and delight of life itself and of this very day only when we confess that these treasures are God's gift to us. If we focus our attention on our own achievements, if we think of this a day that we have made, if we view this as a time to which we have come by our own goodness or ingenuity, then the fairest day is overshadowed with the threat of worse times to come, or by the demand that we now produce another equally splendid after this evening's sunset, to be brought on the stage at sunrise tomorrow. But these achievements, thank God, are not the reason for the glory of the day. It is rather because it is God's gift. It was in the making through His inscrutable purposes long before we ever looked ahead to this box on the calendar. With the striking of the midnight hour last night, it came into being, unnoticed by most of us. With the first rays of daybreak, it showed itself clean, fresh fallen from the hand of the Creator. Upon our first glimpse of it, it looked like many another ordinary day, set as decent Tuesdays are, always appearing between Monday and Wednesday, ho-hum, another day of school. Nothing to get excited about. But take another look. This is anything but an ordinary day. It is a finite segment of life, unique, unrepeatable. No other day has ever brought to us the same demanding mixture of pain and promise, of challenge and choice, of hurt and hope, of disappointment and delight. And none yet to come will offer precisely this same combination. In no other day of your life will you be called on to meet just this set of demands, with just this set of resources at your command, with just this present experience to inform your thought and to inspire your action. This fragile web of unprecedented circumstance, like the tracery of a snowflake, declares by its very uniqueness the glory of God, and in its intricate tapestry we can discern, if we will, the very face of Providence. For our days are not meant merely to be enjoyed. Indeed, if we see them only as vehicles of pleasure, as our own trinkets designed to be fondled in selfish solitude, then we are as far from obeying the injunction of the psalmist as if we spent them in abject despair or in cursing the fates that imprisoned us within them. Besides, there is enough misery around us, enough hurt within us, to give the lie to any suggestion that all days in all ways are pleasurable. The legendary attitude of Pollyanna is not what the text is all about. But hear it again. This is the day the Lord hath made. The same Lord who redeems us, calls us his own, sets us in the strong company of sisters and brothers, exposes us to the bracing breezes of responsibility, and attunes our ears to the calls of a needy world. Let us rejoice in this day, a day wherein we are blessed with the privilege of serving him, one wherein we, you and I, are graced with a common lot to walk together here for this while, undertaking together tasks in ministry and in preparation for still further ministry, in the name and by the power of the Lord who made the day. Let us pray. You are requested to remain seated after the benediction through the playing of the postlude. Let us go from this place in peace, O Lord, secure in the promise of thy presence and ever attentive to thy call. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord.